I'm joined by a very special guest, Rajiv Chandrasekhar, somebody who follows AI and tech perhaps more than any other minister in the government or anywhere in the region. Thanks very much for being with us. Mr. Chandrasekhar, first, why is it important for the Prime Minister to be part of this AI summit? There are AI summits and there are AI summits. How is this any different?
So, Vishnu, the first AI summit started in 2023 in November. The UK government hosted that. I represented the government of India then. I was in the government then. And that focused on safety. And you fast forward now to about 18 months later, this summit is appropriately called AI Action Summit. And in that, there's deep meaning because for all these months that we have talked about AI, we've talked about it as this great technology that has this great transformative power. And India is the one country in the world which is almost a case study for observers of deploying tech in real terms to transform governance, to transform and expand the economy and transform people's lives. India being a co-chair of an AI Action Summit is, in my opinion, extremely appropriate and extremely relevant to how AI will be deployed in the coming months and years. So I think this is an extremely important summit. The fact that India is co-chairing it and Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji is today seen around the world as an absolute practitioner of technology in terms of how it's deployed in government and governance. So I think this is an extremely important and a very appropriate summit for India to be a co-chair of.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, we are in a phase when you've got different AI apps. So you've got Grok, which I use. You've got DeepSeek from China. You've got ChatGPT. And you don't have an Indian model at the moment. Now, we also have an AI mission. And we put in thousands of crores into that. How is a part of that AI mission meant to develop an Indian AI app or technology which represents our interests?
Look, I think, Vishnu, it's important to understand that the conversations in the AI Action Summit are precisely about this. There are these large general purpose, large language models that are being built in the US, primarily in the US, and now in China as well. And there are all of these conversations about safety and trust and the risks of AI. So there are these conversations that are happening. And I think this is extremely important because India's view and our Prime Minister's view, which he stated way back in December 2023, is that we want to create these foundational models, not general purpose, but India wants to deploy AI and create AI foundational models that will solve real problems in agriculture, in healthcare, in education, in terms of language translation. So therefore, India's approach is not the Western American approach of building these large, expensive, general purpose, large language models that will, lead to AGI and ASI and all of that. But it is to do what we have done with DPI, using technology to solve the problems that our people face, our economy and governance faces, and to create these smaller, much more narrower focused, specific purpose focused model. So we are already, our mission is focused on that. And I have no doubt the minister spoke about that recently, the government has spoken about that recently, that we will have very quickly, very soon rather, these very application focused AI models that will be transforming governance and transforming people's lives in real terms.
So for example, in the case of healthcare, I can see the applicability of AI where a machine reads, let us say, a radiology report or a certain CAT scan and offers a doctor advice or suggestions, a second set of eyes in a sense, not the primary one. That's one area where obviously the speed of getting diagnosis is improved. I can see that as being something that we adopt. What about agriculture? How can AI help Indian agriculture?
Look, Vishnu, what you talked about in terms of healthcare is that's a very tip of the iceberg kind of a thing. That doesn't need a model that is really more of an application. But, India is such a diverse country with people that live very different, with very different physiological makeup, very different resistances, very different diet and food, and therefore the ability of a healthcare model, a model that will be able to diagnose, predict what is going to happen to a certain community of people, what they should be looking out for. So this is not simply about interpreting X-rays or MRIs. This is about using the power of AI to transform our healthcare planning, transform our healthcare delivery system, and to be able to anticipate and forecast what type of healthcare help people require. And the other flip side of healthcare is medicine discovery. And we will be in a position to create cures for diseases that we have not been able to crack for many, many years and decades, including but not limited to cancer. So this is very powerful, transformative stuff that we are talking about. And so our Prime Minister is right on point and on the money when he talks about us focusing on specific areas with these models that are going to create solutions that will have a direct impact on people's lives, which they have not had so far.
You know, that's fascinating what you're saying. Could you give some more examples on how focused AI applications can change our lives in India?
No, look, for example, agriculture. Today we have the DPI in India, and a lot of what the farmers today face, we are able to understand and analyze based on government data. But imagine when you layer the DPI for agriculture with AI, and we are able to predict cropping patterns, we are able to predict natural calamity and water and monsoon patterns way in advance. And that becomes an input into a farmer's economic and business planning, his own cropping and crop planning, and his own life. He can think of his life, and he can think of his agricultural investments over a medium term rather than having to live from year to year. So these are very, very deep transformational things that are going to happen with the power of AI, Vishnu. And sorry if I sound very excited, but I am a...
I think we are all excited by this. We are all trying to figure out where it's going, but Paris, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, and and these conversations in Paris are absolutely brilliant, because I'm listening to people today talk about what is in the realm of possible in the coming 1 or 2 years that 5 years ago or 3 years ago we would have never thought was even remotely possible, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in agriculture, whether it's in natural calamity and sustainability planning. So all of these areas that we were in a sense limited by how we could see beyond the horizon, we are now with AI, and sorry to use an Aero India cliche, but we are going to use AI to be able to see beyond the horizon and predict things beyond the horizon for many of these very, very focused application areas.
And it's going to be free, right? When we develop it as a country, we aren't charging money for it, for our farmers.
And so that's an interesting question, Vishnu, because that is one of the core debates that is undergoing, that's taking place in the AI Action Summit, which is open source versus these closed black boxes. So you have ChatGPT and the American systems that are absolutely black boxes, versus what DeepSeek has done today, upended that model and said we are going to open source AI. Now there's a whole debate going on that we should not have other people have access to AI. There could be the bad guys who get access to AI if it's open source, and therefore it should be closed and guarded and proprietary. But as somebody who's been in technology for 30, 35 years, I said this in a panel yesterday, that anybody who tries to defend a closed source model is going to find that some youngster somewhere in China or in India is going to create a model that is far superior and far better. So I don't think there is much of an argument for a closed source model. The future is open source, as we have shown in India with the DPI. I think AI will also go down that same road, where transparency, lack of bias, accountability are all going to be, in a sense, possible because of the open sourcing and scrutiny of the models.
The other part of this, of course, is hardware. Semiconductors, chips, computing power needs to be absolutely massive. Even if we have, even if we aren't developing large language models. And we've got a semiconductor policy as well that would potentially feed into all of this in the future. But just in terms of the inherent computing power with supercomputers and chips that we have existing in India, are we well placed to do what you're talking about?
So Vishnu, that is the third leg of the conversations that are sort of being had in the AI Action Summit that I'm picking up, which is, the conventional wisdom about 6 months ago was that unless you had these huge multi-billion dollar data centers and hyperscalers, you would not be in a position to train and build good models. Now, DeepSeek has again upended that. And there is clearly evidence to show that scaling and compute infrastructure investments are going to decline on one hand, and that the amount of compute capacity that you require with more and more efficient algorithms will be less than what was expected. So I think that is the other assumption that is being, in a sense, upended and being scrutinized. But that is that do you require these multi $25-30 billion to create a really world-scale, world-standard large language model? And the answer, it seems to be today, which it was not 5 months ago, that it is not necessarily true that that is going to be a need. But of course, there is a shortage today. NVIDIA dominates the AI compute space. But from what I hear, AMD is about 6 to 10 months behind, and they are going fast catching up. And there are other hardware and semiconductor vendors who are going to catch up to this new game in town. And from somebody who's seen this cycle many times over, Vishnu, I will say that infrastructure will not be the entry barrier to AI.
Right.
It was in the past with mini computers and the PC upended it. You saw that many times in the tech cycle play itself out. I suspect that, and at least this is a widely held view now, gaining more and more currency after DeepSeek, that what you thought was the big entry barrier of AI infrastructure is not necessarily going to be that much of a barrier going into the future.
All right. Rajiv Razashekar, wonderful speaking to you. Let's see what happens over the next couple of days. Absolutely fascinating.
Thank you.
We are